Hi, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is the responsible day for the fifth day of Adar. We thank Rabbi Jacob Bromwitz, David Hachhauser, and the OU for helping us with these shiurim, putting them online for you, and I hope for your listening pleasure. Today we're going to study a tshuva from a sefer called Shut Maim Chaim, Chelek Bet Simon Samech Hei, the second volume, the 65th response. Now, Shut Maim Chaim is another book, another series of responsa by Rav Chaim David Halevi, who we have seen on occasion, usually from his shut called Aseh L'Charav. But however it happened, I don't know exactly the difference between the two books of response in his mind. And it came up in my Bar Ilan, and we know Rav Chaim David Halevi well, and what a reliable source of interesting Torah he is. So I looked at it, and it's a good, interesting tshuva. The following case happens. He's responding to a letter. Let's remember, Rav Chaim David Halevi doesn't write his own dates on tshuvot, but he starts off his response always saying, I got your letter of such and such date. Usually in Aseh L'Charav, he only says the day of the month, right? He says, so today it would have been like the fifth day of Adar. This one is from the fifth day of Adar, Aleph of Tav Shin Nun Bet of 1992. And it's a response about what happened to this man when his father passed away. So he starts with words of comfort. And I want to comfort you. This is a Sephardi way of saying it. That you don't have more occasions for sadness and sorrow, and that everything should go well in the future, and you always have sasun and simcha. Nice brachot, nice greetings and well wishes for this man who has suffered a loss. So here's the answer. When his father had passed away, the Rav of the Shulchanah, the neighbor, remember that in Eretz Yisrael, so the idea of a shul rav has getting stronger over time, but it wasn't the strongest. They used to construct their rabbinate more in terms of rabbis of whole neighborhoods and whole cities. So Rav Chaim David Halevi was for a long time the Sephardic chief rabbi of the city of Tel Aviv. And however that worked, however you went to shuls and however you balance responsibilities to an entire city, that's what his job was. There are also rabbanim of shkunot, they're rabbis for neighborhoods, and their job is sort of all of the shuls in the neighborhood, all the Jews in that neighborhood. So the rav of his shkunah, this man's neighborhood, was an Ashkenazi, was a Jew of, you know, French and German descent, right, from the areas of Ashkenaz. And he was there at the time of Ptira, so he's doing some pastoral involvement, right? So he's trying to do his job well, but then the man reports that he told me to immediately leave the room when my father passed away, and then he prohibited me from in any way getting involved in the burial, in the caring for the person who had passed away, and from any way being mitamei lemeit, becoming ritually impure by contact with the person who had passed away. So remember, this ritual of purity comes in two main ways when it comes to Jews. One is actually touching him and being involved with him. So those who are involved in burial are supposed to. That's one, right? And they're not supposed to have to. There's no way to bury somebody without it, and they'll do the tarot, this or that. That's one way you can get to him. And the other way is by being in a room. That's Tumat Ohel. By being in a room, by being under the same covering or by leaning over it. All the ways of Tumat Ohel, of contracting ritual impurity by virtue of being in the same space with the person who had passed away. So the Rav, this rabbi, prohibited this Kohen Jew, this Kohen Sephardi Jew, from having any such involvement with the person who had passed away, with his father had passed away. And then when they got to the cemetery, the rabbi had them stand outside the fence, and I said Kaddish when I was outside the fence. So I asked the rabbi, and I said to him, the Sephardi, now I want to pause, and I hope I don't run out of time, because I often do run out of time, but I want to pause and just mention a story. I only heard Nechama Leibowitz, Aleha Shalom, Zecher Tzadkanit Nefracha, whatever the right term would be to express our respect for this great woman. I heard her speak one time, and I got a bunch of stories out of that one time that I heard her speak. So one of them was, she spoke about the fact that she was once riding in a cab in Eretz Yisrael, and this cab driver asks her a question about that is really way too far a digression to get into, but he asked her an interesting and insightful question based on his knowledge of Tanakh. And she says, why do Sephardi cab drivers know, and I don't know that this is still true, it was a long time ago that I heard her, but she says, why do Sephardi cab drivers know Tanakh? So, well, because they have a little Tanakh there on the dashboard. Whenever they have a break, they read Tanakh. I was reminded of that because this man says he asked the rabbi, there's a pasuk in the Torah, ki im b'sheiroha karovei lav, laviv ulimo, right, that a Kohen, it's prohibited becoming tamei, it's true, but the pasuk then gives seven exceptions. It's either your spouse, child, parent, or sibling, or sister, or sibling. Yeah, sibling, whatever, that we don't have to get into that, but sibling. So he says, but it explicitly says, your father and your mother, you become tamei for. So he wants to know. Now, obviously, knowing Pasuk and Torah is not the same thing as knowing Tanakh well, but that's what is the point. But he knew this Pasuk. He doesn't understand. So the rabbi says to him, that's the halacha. So that part already, I think the rabbi fell down a little bit on his pastoral job. I don't know who the rabbi was. The rabbi's not named, so I'm not criticizing any particular, but that he could have tried to take a little more time to explain it. He may not have known more. He says, that's the halacha. So this Tzvardi is not happy about that. He says, lo nachadati. His curiosity or his discomfort with this psak has not been assuaged. Because how could it be, he says, that a psak halacha would be against an absolute pasuk? So he turns to Rav Chaim David Levi and says, what's the halacha here? So Rav Chaim David Levi says, the Tur does say, more like this Sephardi man had assumed, that for all the people who had passed away, the relatives who are mentioned in that part of the Torah, it's an obligation, the Torah says, mitzvah shitma, it is an obligation to be mitameh, v'afil lo ratza mitamim b'kocho, and even if the Kohen, for some reason, says, I don't want to become tameh, I want to stay tahor, for whatever reason, they make him tameh b'al kocho, we require the Kohen to become tameh. Remember, becoming tameh, we always translate it as to becoming ritually impure, but here we mean, and this will become relevant at the end of the responsum, here we mean to involve himself with this mate in such a way that the halachos of ritual impurity become applicable to him, right? The issue isn't becoming tameh for itself, it's becoming involved with the mate, either by actively burying or being in the same space with the mate, but doing something like that, and the Torah says, Bein litzarech, bein shelo litzarech. Whether or not the mate needs it. Meaning, let's say a Kohen's relative passes away, and there's plenty of people who will take care of it, who are happy to take care of it, or, I mean, not happy like as they enjoy it, but happy as in they want to be part of this chesed shel emet, of this great kindness to the person who passed away, and to the relatives of the person who passed away, and they want to assure them that they need not worry about any of their needs. Just, this is not Rav Chaim David Levi. I'm sorry that I'm digressing so much today. Just that kind of a day, I guess, for me. But, you know, when it comes to providing them with food during the Shiva while they're mourning, it's clearly a big, great chesed for everybody else to be involved. So here too, there are so many people who are anxious and interested in being part of sharing this sad time with this family, that the family relatives would not in fact have any need. The needs of the niftar, of the person who passed away, would be fully taken care of without any of them. The Torah says it doesn't matter. Actually, Stom HaGolal, the person, the relatives mentioned in the Torah, must be involved with that person, with the person who passed away, until the grave is covered over. Until the grave is covered over. And she's Tampa Galal is a term from the Gemara about how they used to bury people, but basically until the grave is covered over. The Beis Yosef, when he wants to explain that tour, points us to a Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Kuf, where it has a bright that says La Yitama. One of the people that it talks about is an unmarried sister, so for her he should become tamei. The Gemara says mitzvah. It's a commandment. It's an obligation. It's not he's allowed to. It's he must. And if he doesn't want to, we make him do it be'al korcho, even against his will. And the Gemara there tells a story. Maaseh Yosef HaKohen. There was a case of Yosef HaKohen whose wife passed away erev Pesach. Sadly, it's sad all around. But his wife passed away erev Pesach. The new Echad HaKohanim v'timu, and his brethren Kohanim made him become Tamei. Now, why wouldn't he want to become Tamei? He didn't want to become Tamei because he wanted to eat Korban Pesach that night. Meaning, and his wife has passed away either way. So we'll get into the ins and outs of that story in a second, but that's what's going on. He had a reason that he thought he wanted to stay away from becoming ritually impure, and that wasn't halacha. The halacha is la'itama. It's an absolute obligation. So that's one piece of the tour. So one piece of the tour is that he has to become tamei. The second piece of the tour was that it was until Achi Stom HaGolala, until the grave is covered over. And there the Beis Yosef pointed out to a bright in Avel Rabbati. Avel Rabbati is one of those masechtot ketanot, one of those small masechtot that aren't Gemara, and they're not Mishnah. So they're assumed to be brightot, and they have some halachic standing. They don't have the same halachic standing as the Mishnah and the Gemara, but there are a lot of areas of halacha where the Mishnah and Gemara don't address the things that are in these Masechtot Ketanot, and therefore we turn to them and we learn from them the halacha. So there's a bracha that says, until what point does the relative become tamei, or is allowed to, or obligated to become tamei? Rav Meir says it's all that day, which is such an interesting idea. Right, all that day, even if the grave has been covered over, it's still involvement because of the day. And remember, in halacha also, at a right level, at a biblical level, there are many opinions that say that a mourning is only that first day, at a biblical level. So that would fit. Rabbi Meir would fit with that. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, Achi Stom HaGolal, until the grave is covered over. And the Ramban wrote, V'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. The Beis Yosef says, the Ramban paskened that way. The Ramban has this wonderful work called Torat Adam, which starts with illness and the laws of visiting the sick, and moves all the way through the passing of a person, the burial of a person, and the mourning for a person. So there, I think, I'm pretty sure that's where it is. And then he talks about, actually, that's where the Ramban famously has what's called the Shaar HaGemul, a section of that work at the very end, talks about our belief and understanding of reward and punishment in the world to come, and all those kinds of issues. And the Ramban writes that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, it's actually still my golal until the grave is covered over. And that's the Beit Yosef. So the Beit Yosef and the Torah together seem to say there's an obligation to come to Tameh, and that obligation lasts until the grave is covered over. So Rav Chaim David Levi thinks that second source is not only a proof about until when, it's not only evidence about until when the Kohen's responsibility to be involved with the person who passed away lasts, he thinks it's also got to be a proof that it's not a matter of whether the person who passed away needs this Kohen to become Tameh, needs this Kohen's involvement, because if it's a matter of need, then what does it matter if it's been covered over or not? If there's a need, get Tameh. If there's not a need, don't get Tameh. Right, so Rav Chaim David HaLevi thinks that source pushes strongly in the direction of understanding that what we're talking about is an obligation independent of need. That even if there's no need to get Tameh, the Kohen must do so, and then we have to talk about until what point does that last. A second proof that he has is he thinks, says, think about that Gemara in Zvachim. We talk about this Yosef HaKohen. Yosef HaKohen's wife passes away Erev Pesach. He doesn't want to get Tameh, and they forced him to get Tameh. He probably didn't want to get Tameh because he wanted to be able to perform Pesach that night. But his Kohen brethren said, no, you got to. So Chaim David says, are you trying to argue to me that that's only because there was nobody else willing to do it? Of course, how could it be, A, that nobody else would be willing to do it? Man's wife passes away. There's nobody out there who's willing to bite the bullet and not have Korban Pesach that night. Or somebody who, there's not people, let's say, who are out there who were already Tameh and therefore weren't going to be able to have Korban Pesach anyway, or whatever the issues could be. That's one question he raises about it. But the other question is, do you really think that this Yosef HaKohen, in order to eat Korban Pesach, was willing to leave his wife unburied until after Yom Tov? Now, granted, after Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, was only one day, right? But still, can you imagine that he would be so cruel? This is what Chaim David HaLevi is saying, and there's an obligation in the Torah, there's a prohibition in the Torah against what's called halanat tamein, about leaving over people who have passed away. Right, that's we're not allowed to leave over. So we today will leave over people passed away for a day, maybe for kavod hamet, for the honor of the person who passed away. To, you know, if relatives want to gather and you want to have a bigger funeral, you want to have a more mechubadik funeral, meaning not bigger just like numbers, but to have more people mark the passing of this person. So there we allow it a day, 2 days, but here to leave her over just because he wanted to go, basically, it's unfathomable to Rav Chaim David HaLevi. And therefore, it's got to be that the obligation to become Tameh has nothing to do with whether the person who passed away needs this person or not. There's a story that I want to tell. It's not such a longer tshuva, where there's not so much left of the tshuva, and we have a little bit of time, so I just want to point out, many years ago, I was talking to a reform rabbi, however it happened, and he was telling a story. I was in a group, and it wasn't just me and him, but I was in a group, and he was telling a story about how his cantor and was going on vacation, and she says to him, just don't plan any funerals for X and Y date. And I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, how far in advance do you plan your funerals? Because in the Reform movement, they don't worry about this, sadly. Among the many sad elements of the Reform movement is they lost sight of this halakha as well, that we are opposed to halanat tamei. So in our context, that is support for Chaim David HaLevi, for his understanding that these Gemaras and the Beis Yosef and the Torah all mean that the involvement of the Kohen, such that he becomes ritually impure by virtue of involvement with one of these seven relatives who has passed away, that involvement has nothing to do with the fact that the mate needs his involvement. Even if the mate's needs, even if the person who passed away's needs were fully going to be taken care of by other people, the Kohen is required to become involved. That's the way he firmly understands it for now. Now, we come to realize there's another opinion as well, however. The Beis Yosef wrote a Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen was an important Ashkenazi posek. And he wrote a book of Tshuvot, and this is Trumas HaDeshen. And in Reish Pei Gimel, in response number 283. The Truman's edition writes that according to this reasoning, whatever the reasoning is that we're talking about needs and things like that, and the Kohen being involved in the mate, he says, a Kohen whose relative passed away on Shabbos can stay in the room. Okay, so why would you think maybe he could stay in the room? Because on Shabbos, there's nothing to do in terms of burials. The Truman Deshin writes, even though it's true, you cannot bury that day, you have to watch him. And this watching isn't only about being sure that nothing happens to him, it's also about Kadesh lo yeh mutal bebizayon. We watch, we have a shomer, we have somebody watching those who have passed away, not only because we're worried, meaning, you know, there could be rooms where we know nothing's going to happen to them, but you don't just lock them away and leave them there, because that's seen as a lack of respect for the person who passed away. And the Trumet Deshen says, and you should, the Kohen should be able to do that on Shabbos, because that's an important part of taking care of the mate. But then he says, Amnam Betosos Psachim, they wrote Bipshitut, this is the Truman's edition, right? They wrote Bipshitut, they took it as a simple matter that you're not allowed, that the Kohen is not allowed to become ritually impure, Tomei, for relatives, in Lo Litzorei Chamei. It's got to be Tzorei Chamei. Now he's defining, Truman's edition seems to be defining sitting with the mate in the room as Tzorei Chamei, but it's only if it's Tzorei Chamei, if the mate needs it, if the person who passed away needs it. Now that would imply, it's going to become a continuing issue, that would imply that if there are other people to sit with the mate, then the Kohen shouldn't be the only one doing it. And Tosfos Shanz explained it, clarified it. Remember, there are many versions of Tosfot around. Some of them are very similar to each other, meaning the backbone, the skeleton, the warp and the web, whatever the main parts of the Tosfos were very clear, but then in different versions of Tosfos, there's slight differences. And Tosfos Mishans from Sens, S-E-N-S, a place in France, and they, their version had it clearer. Delo shar the tamot rach l'tzorach kavura o l'tzorach aron v'takrichin v'imkein achmum lachmir. That Trumas Edeshin says, Tosfos Shanz says, that you're only allowed to become Tamei if it's for the needs of burial or the needs of finding the burial shroud or a burial coffin. Those are the needs that are necessary. It's not just a general idea. It's if there are needs that this Kohen has to be involved with. And that would imply that if there are others there to take care of it. Now, you theoretically, it's not the way we're going to understand it here, but theoretically, even within that more restrictive view, I could have said, okay, but as long as there's a need, even if somebody else can do it, the Kohen's allowed to do it, maybe even should do it. I could have imagined saying that. We're going to see some Ashkenazim who are going to say that, meaning one way to read the Tosfos is only if there's a need, and need is defined by the fact there's nobody else to do it. But and then within there, it's a restrictive version of need, but not necessarily. You could have said, no, the needs of kavura, of burial, and the needs of burial shrouds and burial coffins, those are needs that this Kohen relative is allowed, maybe even supposed to become involved with, even if there are other people. So that's the way the Truman edition is quoted in the Beit Yosef, and then we're going to get to it. He pauses, so I'll get to his pause in a second, but the Ramah is basically going to say it's worth worrying about this, and that's going to lead to an idea where the Ashkenazim seem to assume, some Ashkenazim poskim, including perhaps the Ramah, seem to assume that Kohanim should only get involved with their deceased relatives in terms of becoming tummy for them if there's some need. I don't know that that's a general psak for Ashkenazim. I've seen Ashkenazi Kohanim who don't take it that way, but that's the way he's gonna construct his understanding of what's going on. But, and I've noticed this recently with Rav Uziel in a different context, and now I'm noticing it here with Rav Chaim David Levi, he's going to now say, I don't know what the Rav Trumas Edeshin is talking about. And he says it respectfully, Acharei ha-mechila rabah mikvod godlo shel Rav Trumas Edeshin, with great apologies and recognizing the greatness of the Trumas Edeshin. Now, the reason I think this is interesting, the Trumas Edeshin maybe counts as an acharon, but maybe counts as a Rishon, meaning he's a very early Acharon. So to watch Chaim David Levi be willing to disagree with him, it's an interesting thing to watch. And this whole idea of we don't argue with so-and-so, we don't argue with people from this generation, from that generation. So this Friday posting, at least, seems to be towing that line. So he says, Mechilat HaVektushim, and all of those who copied what he said. Remember that part of what happens in Halacha is if somebody has an opinion, the people who copy it down who are close to his time, they certainly could have argued with him. So if they copy it down without comment, it means that they are assuming that it's correct, or at least a valid opinion. They don't have no qualms about it. So there's the weight of all of those who have copied the Truman Edeshin without complaint is standing against Rav Chaim David Levi. So he says, with all due respect to all of those authorities, it seems to me that there's no proof here from the Tosfos. because there's another Tosfos right around there. Omer read Kohen Shoteaya, that this Kohen was a fool. The Kohen, there's a case in the Gemara that the Tosfos were reacting to, where the talk about a Kohen looking into a pit to see if there was a Nafel there, see if there was a baby who had passed away there, and whatever the case, that's the important piece of the case for our purposes. And the point is that when looking in, if the baby was there, he would become tamei. The Gemara clearly takes it badly and thinks that he was doing the wrong thing. But the Ri in another Tosa says he was a kohen shoted filu no marshal gviratai. Even if the baby, the nafel, the premature baby, belonged to whatever woman that he was worried about. He was worried about. The question was it a woman, his wife, who had miscarried, or who had given birth to this baby, or was it a maid in the house? But so the Ri says that ain kohen mitamei linefalim, that a kohen should not become tamei for premature babies, because that's not a full life that brings this responsibility or permissibility that the Torah talks about. But then writes Tosfos writes, and this Rav Chaim David Levi is pretty confident is the source of the Truman Adeshin. Oh, de kan lo hayat zorech hamet. Also, there was no need for the now. Yeah, the way the Truman Adeshin seems to read it is there's no need, the mate didn't need him at all because he wasn't doing anything for the mate. Kaneshin Truman Adeshin gave me lot zorech. That the Truman Adeshin understood that when they talk about the needs of the deceased, meaning that it meant the needs of burying the deceased or getting some kind of the burial materials for the deceased. So that leads him to understand that Tosfos are saying, so what are you going to do about Yosef HaKohen? You'll answer Yosef HaKohen, however you answer Yosef HaKohen, whatever the answer would be. But they have this other source, and Tosfos knows what are very authoritative for an authority for the person like the Truman Adeshin. But Rav Chaim David Levi is not saying Tosfos are wrong or these other Gemaras prove it. He has these other Gemaras, but he says, I don't even think Tosfos mean what you think that what you seem to think they mean. Laniatati, Kabaratam, I think that Tosfos mean, it seems to be clear that Tosfos mean, that the mitzvah in the Torah for a Kohen to become Tameh is when he does it in terms of what he cares about is the person who had passed away. That it's a focus on that person, meaning if he was looking into the Nafel to see if there was a Nafel there, a premature baby there, so that there could be a discussion about what to do with this Nafel, how to handle this Nafel, and how to deal with this Nafel, that would be one thing. But in that situation, he was looking in to find out if his wife had given birth, or had given birth to an actual baby, so that he can know her halachos, to whether or no she had to act as a woman who has given birth, or halachos about that, in terms of ritual impurity, in terms of various issues, or if it was a maid servant in the house, and that also he needed to know, because she may or may not be touching his truma. He's a kohen, and she can only touch his truma if she's not tamei. So the tzorech hamet, the Rav Chaim David Levi says in that Gemara, is it a contrast between does the mate need it or not need it? It means is the focus the person who had passed away or not who passed away. So if he had been looking in just to see if the baby that had passed away, let's say, was big enough to need burial, right? So that would be tzorech hakavura. Whatever it is, if he's looking in for some purpose that's directly to do with the deceased, that would be tzorech hamet, even if he's not needed, even others can do it. Is what Chaim David is saying, Tosfos met. You know, he's not saying, I think that's what he's saying, I think that's the basic meaning of Tosfos. I think the Truman's Adeshin is, and all those who went with him are reading it in a different way, because they're reading it as, does the mate need him? And he's saying, no, tzorech hamet is in contrast to looking at it for completely other purposes, such as knowing about the Tumah and Tara of other people. However you read those sources, the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridish, Shin Ayin Gimel 373, paragraph 5, says, yeah, Kohen has to be mitame to them, even if there's no need. And then he puts as a second opinion, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes a second opinion, this view of the Truman Adeshin, that those who say it has to be the Tzorech. So, Rav Chaim David Levi says it's clear that when this is a question people talk about all the time, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, how do you know what he meant? How do you know what he thought we should do? So in this situation, when he quotes one opinion and then he says that there's a Yesh Amrim, then he means the one opinion that he quotes is the one that we should follow, the one that is normative. And the Ramah writes there, but it's proper to be machmir like the Svara Acharona, like the second opinion. That you should only be mitame, now he's quoting this Truman's Adeshin, that you should only be mitame in terms of bringing an aron, bringing a coffin, bringing a shroud, or actually burying them. Now, I would point out that even then, even the way the Rambam wrote it, I can imagine somebody saying, litzorech means that you're involved in those things, meaning I could have imagined being the Ramadarim that the Kohen shouldn't just sit around in the same room, that the Kohen or shouldn't just touch the body, but or the Aron, but the Kohen should be involved in the burial. That's the way that the Kohen is allowed to do it. But that's not the way Chaim Dalit is taking it. So he's saying Me'ata Barur, so he's taking it, and clearly this Rav HaShekhinah is taking it. It's a debate between the Ramah and the Shekhinah, not a debate, but there's a difference of opinion as to the act in practice about what a Kohen should do. The Shulchan Aruch seems clear the Kohen should be involved. The Ramah says the Kohen should only be involved for the needs of certain things, and this is being taken by Chaim David Levi and by the Rav of the neighborhood to mean, and that's only if there's a need, not just for these purposes, but only if there's a need, and that's the psak that this Rav had given you. So that's an explanation of how the Rabbi in the Shulchan got to the idea that he got to. And since in his case there was no need for this Kohen to be involved in the burial or the bringing of the shred or any of that stuff, so that's what his psak was. But ultimately, he was wrong anyway. Why was he wrong? Because this man is a Sephardi, and it's part of the job of a rabbi of a shkuna, of a rabbi of a neighborhood, to know the needs of his congregants, of his constituents. And as a Sephardi, he should have been allowed to follow the Ramah. Not only that, he says, I think there are Ashkenazi poskim who don't even take now. I think those Ashkenazi poskim are going to read the Ramah differently than Chaim David Levi just did. But at the very least, they don't paskin that way. So the Pirkei Tshuva quotes the Gaon Milisa of Yaakov Lorberbaum, who was an important Rav in the early 1800s, that on a weekday, not on Shabbos, would tell you Bevet HaMeit Shemitzvah L'Tameilo Af She'achim Asukim, he should be there, even if other people are taking care of everything, the Kohen relative should be there, because maybe they'll need something, they'll need him for the Aron of the Tachrich. In other words, he's accepting the idea that it's only for the needs of the Shroud, or the coffin, or the burial, but he can be there just waiting around in case there's a need. And he thinks that's enough, because maybe they'll need him. So the Rav Chaim David says, I don't understand what he's talking about, because when there's no actual need, then there's no obligation to become tummy. It's only if there's a need, and if there's others around, then he can wait outside. If they need him, they'll come and get him. So therefore, he says, no, it's got to be the Rav Chaim David, the Gomi Lisa, doesn't accept this whole idea. He thinks it's a mitzvah to be mitame, just that the mitzvah to be mitame is regarding the needs of the shroud, the coffin, or the actual burial. And then he notes that the Ramah had also written, not that it's halacha that way, but nachon lachmir, it's proper to be machmir. And again, I think that the Gaon Milisa was reading the Ramah the way that I'm saying, rather than Chaim David Levi, but the fundamental end is the same, that it's not clear for even Ashkenazim that there's any prohibition on a Kohen to become tummy for a relative. It's more that they're restricting it to specific kinds of needs, but then the definition of need is not that there's nobody else to do it, it's that those are the needs that you're being involved with, and that as long as you're being involved with that, then that's okay. And then he points out that he's not even sure what the custom in Ashkenazi Jews is, that it's so clear they don't do this, because the Nekudot HaKesef, who I think is the Shach responding to the Taz, the Nekudot HaKesef writes, on the Shekhoch, he says, it's not true. The Ramah says, we follow it's property of the Machabim. He says, no, the minhag is to follow the first opinion, and therefore to require Kohanim to become Tamei for their relatives, whereas the Bach quotes Trumas Adeshin and the Trus Rishant and the Chumar of that, and he says that's what we do. So in other words, even among Ashkenazim, there seem to be differences of custom as to how to handle these things, but certainly this Rav shouldn't have done it. On the other hand, says Rav Chaim David Levi, in terms of not going to a Beit HaKavod, not going into the cemetery, that is our common psak, because the problem is that a Kohen cannot become a Tamei for another person who had passed away, even the Shulchan Aruch says, even while he's becoming tummy for his relatives, whereas the Ramah says, no, it's only after he's finished being tummy for his relatives. But the point is, you go, a Kohen goes into a cemetery, you walk in, then walking out is going to be a problem, because the Kohen will pass other graves, and it'll become tummy for those graves, and therefore that's a big problem. So there are some people who think that even on the way in, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch seems to think. But either way, there's a problem for Kohanim to go into cemeteries, even at the moment they're burying their relatives, because there are all these other people who had passed away that are going to become tummy by virtue of coming into contact with their gravesite. And that's why the common custom is to bury Kohanim at the edges of cemeteries. Now, Chaim David Levi assumes that even when they're burying them at the edge of cemeteries, so unless there's a way in and out directly without coming into contact with any other graves, then the Kohanim relatives couldn't go in to the actual burial, because they'll have this problem with the other graves. So you put them at the edge so that the Kohanim relatives can stand right outside and be able to see everything and be involved with it, for those reasons, and not have any problem with contact with other graves. Now, why is all this? This very end of the tshuva, Kadosh says, why is all this? And it's interesting to me because I grew up in a world where I think Rabbi Soloveitchik had said what Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik had said exactly what kind of a Levi he's going to struggle to say, and he's not sure that it's true. And so I knew it sort of from the time of my youth, not because I was so smart, but because I had heard it, and he's struggling for this very idea. He says, why is it that it's important for a Kohen to become Tamei for a relative? It might be an obligation, might be a necessity. So he points out that Rabbi Menilchos Avil, in the second chapter of the Laws of Mourning, says, look how serious the laws of Avilut are, the mitzvah, the commandment of Avilut is, that it pushes aside the general prohibition to become tamei, to become ritually impure by contact with a person who passed away. So, person passed away, so that the Kohen should become involved and should be mitamei, should become tamei. It's an obligation. So, and if you don't do it, you may. And if he doesn't want to, you make him. So he understands that Rambam. And I think that this is the absolute correct way to do it. It's interesting to watch him that he's not confident of it. He says, I haven't seen anybody write it about this. He says, I think the Rambam means that getting tamei is a part of the obligation of Eilut. It's a I think the way that Rabbi Soloveitchik said it was that it's a sheer and obvious, it's like a demonstration of the level of one's mourning that one's involved with this. And he says, if you look at the Sefer HaMitzvot in the Rambam's Book of Commandments in Mitzvah 37, the way the Rambam writes it is, Shenistavu HaKohanim Sheyitam'u LaKrovim. The Kohanim are obligated or commanded to become Tamei for their relatives. And then later in that summary, in that brief expression of the Mitzvah, he says, and this itself is the Mitzvah of mourning. And in order to strengthen the mitzvah, to make people clear on the obligation to mourn their relatives, the Torah went out of its way to tell you that a Kohen, who generally has to avoid all ritual impurity regarding those who had passed away, must become tamei, so that you don't think that the mitzvah of Avilut isn't a serious, important mitzvah. So that's clear, that the Rambam understands the obligation for a Kohen to become tamei as part of the mitzvah of Avilut. Now, if you understand it that way, then the transgression and it becomes even less understandable, because he's saying no, you only do it when somebody needs you to do it, but and that's the way it goes. So some in total, you have a Sephardi Jew whose Ashkenazi rabbi paskin from a way that Sephardim certainly don't paskin, but even an Ashkenazim don't necessarily paskin the question of the Kohen's involvement with a relative who passed away, the extent of it, and the fact that it is an expression of our obligation to notice that when Jews pass away, we are required to mourn them and to mark the passing and to feel bad about them and to express our sadness at the loss of this Jewish life. And the Kohen expresses that by doing something he ordinarily not only wouldn't do, but is ordinarily not allowed to do, becoming Tamei in the ways that we said. With thanks to the OU Trip, Jacob Bromwitz, and to David Hochhauser, have a great day.